Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me see. Today we give thanks to God for the life and faith of Mary Magdalene, a woman who we know from the Gospels of Mark and Luke had 7 demons cast out of her. Now the Gospels tell us 12 different times how Mary's post-exorcism baptized life was a continual response and outpouring to Christ in thanksgiving for the deliverance from sin, death, and the devil that she had so freely and undeservedly received from him. Her post-exorcism life, that is, her new life in Christ, was a life that was lived out in the joy of her justification, the fruits of which were witnessed in her daily vocations as she supported and cared for Christ and his apostles, and as she bore witness to him and bore witness to the life that's found only in him. And bear witness she did. I mean, this is the woman, as we just heard, this is the woman who was tasked by Christ himself to go and proclaim the message of his victorious resurrection and his impending ascension to the apostles. Apostles who were still laying low behind locked doors because they were afraid. And go she did, proclaiming all that the Lord had given her, proclaiming to a room full of guys who would still, I wouldn't say not believe, but truly struggle, were struggling in their belief, until Christ himself would appear later that evening to them in table fellowship, showing to them his wounds and proclaiming to them multiple times a peace that surpasses all understanding. But you know, that does bring up a good point. Saint Mary Magdalene was a wonderful example of the faith. But Mary Magdalene was still human, wasn't she? She wasn't perfect. She wasn't without sin. I mean, she was no different than any other child of Adam in that regard. And I mention this not to knock her down a few pegs, but because, as is often the case, the saints who've gone on before us, their lives sometimes go through a bit of a whitewashing. You know, a little revisionist history, right? Simul Justus et Peccator winds up only becoming Justus with little to no peccator. We sometimes wind up portraying the person as this perfect and sinless saint who deigned to dwell among low sinful mortals like us. I can tell you, as a pastor, people are always shocked to hear just how sinful, not imperfect, not slightly flawed, but how sinful guys like Noah and Moses and Elijah and Abraham really were. Well, the same goes for Mary Magdalene. Now, without trying to conflate the scriptures here, we are going to let scripture interpret scripture. We do know from Luke's gospel that Mary was going out to that tomb on Easter Sunday morning not to greet her risen Lord and Savior, but to anoint a corpse. And the angel who greets her and the other women at that empty tomb gently chastises and points them back to their Lord's own words. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on that third day rise again. Consider also the fact that Jesus does use prohibitive terminology with Mary. He says, "Do not cling to me." Now, to be sure, much has been written on these words, and there is no shortage of conjecture. Many people with the best intentions, you know how that works out sometimes, right? But many people have tried cracking this code, treating these words as a problem to be solved. Now, for some, these words of prohibition, they conjure up an image of a Jesus who doesn't want to be bothered or mobbed on. You know, a Jesus who almost performs kind of a Heisman move on Mary. You know, he's too busy, he's too great to be touched. Now, you can also understand why folks who like that hermeneutic, you can also understand why they feel the need to pray to saints hoping that those saints will make intercession to a God who's too high, too holy, too busy to deal with the likes of us. Now for others, especially for those from a more reformed background, it's thought that Jesus is saying here to Mary to not cling to him with physical hands, you know, only cling with the spiritual hands of faith, as if Jesus no longer had any need for real and tangible means. Only the symbolic and spiritual will do now. Well, just based on those two examples you just heard, we certainly know what this doesn't mean, right? But what can we say about this? Well, we can say with all certainty that God's people have always had a bit of a problematic history trusting in him above all things, right? God's people have had some history, and it's not all good, with romanticizing the past. I mean, just think about how Old Testament Israel clung to the past, longed for the good old days when they had the flesh pots back in Egypt. We have no bread and we hate the bread we have now, if only back then. Let me ask you this. You ever been to a high school reunion? You ever been on some people's Facebook pages? If so, then you know what it means to cling to the past. Again, remember, Mary was heading out to that tomb on Easter Sunday morning seeking out a dead and decomposing Jesus. Her first and natural instinct upon encountering this resurrected Christ is to take hold of him and to never want to let go of him again. She lost him once. She doesn't want to lose him again. And we say, well, what's the problem with that? Your Lord knows the heart. He knows that at that moment, she's still clinging to a Jesus that existed in her heart and in her mind before Good Friday. She's not clinging to the Lord of life who's standing before her in that moment. And Jesus, I say this, he corrects her, but that's almost too harsh of a word, but he does gently correct her. With these words, he gently teaches her a lesson in what not to do. We know those can be very effective lessons. He teaches her a lesson in what not to do, a lesson that he had already taught through Solomon centuries before, a lesson about not longing for the good old days. And this is why your Lord admonishes her in all love. He puts her hands back to the proverbial plow, and he sets her gaze aright. Not looking back at what once was, but looking here, locking her in, looking at what now is. The victorious, crucified, resurrected Savior standing before her. The one who conquered sin, death, and the devil. The one the grave cannot hold because death no longer has dominion over him. This gentle word of admonishment, it at once drives away the dark pall of fear and doubt. How's that for some good exorcism language? It drives away the dark pall of fear and doubt and instead turns her around and opens her eyes, her heart, her mind to the joyous, eternal resurrection victory reality that's standing right before her. And through the working of the Holy Spirit in that word of Christ, this blessed example of faith obeys her Lord's command and calling. And folks, this is really what the text is all about. Saint Mary Magdalene hears and holds fast to Christ's word and assurance, obeying his command, departing with a peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing full well that she has him not only for 40 more days, but for all eternity. She lets go. Or maybe better said, she's released. She's released from that darkness of fear that worries about losing Jesus again. She's set free to joyously, confidently trust with the faith that only God himself can give. A faith that knows she will never lose him again. In fact, he will be nearer to her now than ever before. Seated at God's right hand in all power and glory, and thus forever with all those who are his. And Jesus says, go and tell my brothers. Little exegetical side note, this is the first time in all of John that Jesus refers to his disciples as his brothers. Before then, it's always been disciples or something of that nature. But for the first time, post-resurrection, go and tell my brothers. Things on this side of the cross, things on this side of the tomb are forever different. Go and tell my brothers, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. This is the good news that St. Mary Magdalene runs to share with her brothers in the faith. The good news that the crucified Christ lives, the victory's won. The good news that he is their brother and God is their Father. The good news that he, as their brother, is with them now and will be with them always, victorious until the very end of the age. The good news that the apostles will hear their Lord speak verbatim 40 days later at his ascension. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Mary's peace and joy is our peace and joy today. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Nothing's changed. Christ lives. The victory is won. The Lamb of God who once was slain reigns victorious. And this Lord of life, he doesn't just rule from afar. He doesn't just rule in the past like once upon a time. And he doesn't rule in the unforeseen future or only in the unforeseen future. He rules now, here, in our midst. He reigns eternally. Emmanuel lives. And he comes today to us to once again bespeak his word of peace and victory. He comes today to us to once again have table fellowship with us, feeding us with his victorious body and blood. He comes today to us, inviting us to come to him and not just grasp him. I mean, talk about a little irony here. Instead of saying don't grasp, he's saying don't just grasp, take and eat. Take and drink for the forgiveness of all your sin. He comes today to feed us and nourish us in the most intimate, loving way with a peace that does surpass all understanding, the same peace that was Mary's and all those who've ever trusted in him above all things. And he comes today to us, just like he did with Mary, sending us out into a world that's veiled under a pall of sinful darkness and doubt and despair, sending us out with the full confidence of faith to speak and to share his word of life, his word of ever-abiding grace, mercy, and peace. So yes, we give thanks today to our Heavenly Father for providing us with this wonderful example of life and faith that was daily lived out in our dear sister and mother, Mary Magdalene. We give thanks to God for the joy and peace that was hers in justification, repentant joy and peace that bore abundant fruit and was witnessed in her daily words and deeds as a baptized, redeemed child of God. May God grant us the same confidence, joy, and peace in our daily vocations. And may the peace of God, this same peace that was Mary's, the peace that does surpass all human understanding, may this peace guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.